All right, now, since the question came up, we'll expand it a little bit further. What do you do when you see tyranny operating within your government? All right. It's not the first time in history it's happened. Every empire falls when it reaches its height. The generation caught in the fall suffers a great deal. So what we need to do is ask God to give us wisdom, pray the prayer of Psalm 91, as I have mentioned how many times, you know, okay? Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Stand for the truth. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Okay. And if certain ones make you angry, as I said, turn off the television. Dolores flips to another channel. I have a blue channel on the television that I watch. So if there's some things that I don't like, either in an advertisement or what's going on, I hit for the blue channel, and I have peace and serenity with nothing but blue. Okay? Okay. All of that is part of guarding the door of your mind. See? That's also important. All right. Now let's continue on here in 1 John, the second chapter. And he has written this so that we may not sin. And yet, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This also shows repentance every day and when we pray to God. And the longer you live, the more that you understand that any righteousness that you have comes from God. Any good that really takes place comes from God. And that because we have the Spirit of God within, His laws and commandments written in our hearts and in our minds, that what this does for us, it does something that only happens in this particular way to converted people with the Spirit of God. You recognize the sin as it begins in your mind before you carry it out, right? You're able to do that. That is discernment of the Holy Spirit to lead you to repentance. See? That's what that is. A lot of people confuse that and say, well, if I've repented, why do I have this in my mind? Because God wants you to repent of it and get it out of your mind. Therefore, through the Holy Spirit, it is revealed to you that you may repent. See? Now think about that. That's all part of grace. Exposing the sin that's within. Because everything that we've ever said, done, thought, saw, heard, smell, it's recorded somewhere in that gray matter. And the only thing that can erase it is the Spirit of God. That's why it says we're to be cleansed of the flesh and cleansed of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will do that for us. All right, verse 2. And He is the propitiation. Now, propitiation means continual atonement throne or seat for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we know that that has to come in time. God has not yet forgiven the sins of the whole world because the whole world has not yet repented, and they will have a chance during the millennium and the second resurrection. So that's when their time comes. Okay? Our time is now. All right. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the theory of translation as we get to verse 3. The New Testament is written in what is called the ellipsis form. In other words, some things are said in a way that you fill in the other part of it. Verse 3 shows this. Now, I translated it this way, and by this standard. Now, this comes from the Greek ki tuto. Ki e tuto. Okay. Meaning, in this, or by this. And he has it all the way through the book of 1 John. By this, by this, by this, by this. And the one who is reading is to fill in the missing by this what? By this means, by this standard, by this whatever. So I put here, and by this standard, we know that we know him. Now, the only way you know God is how? Through repentance, baptism, the Holy Spirit of God, and the Word of God, right? That's how you know God. Okay. So this is a spiritual thing. If we keep his commandments, the one who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Now notice what keeping the word of God is meant to be through the grace of God. All right? Verse 5. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, now that's the whole sum total of everything that Jesus taught. And for us, that's the whole sum total of the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right? On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, in this, truly, in this one, the love of God is being perfected. That's spiritual, brother. So we keep the laws and commandments and word of God by the grace of God. See, the carnal mind is what? Enmity against the law of God, is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So the carnal Christian says, because he's contemptuous of the law of God, oh, you don't need to keep it. Or that's been done away. Or the new covenant says that Paul abolished the commandments, because there are some difficult scriptures to understand that Paul wrote. We'll cover those in some more of the Bible answer to the evangelicals. Okay? Now notice the next sentence here. In tuto, by this, what? Means. We know that we are in him. See? So our conversion becomes, through the relationship with God, becomes something that we know. And we know that we know that we know that we know. And always remember this, never forget this. Truth can be proven over and over and over and over again. And of the truth, as John writes a little later, there is no lie. But men can make the truth lie by using part of the truth. You know, they get into court and they have this ceremony that they go through. Put your hand on the Bible and, you know, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Yes. That means you're going to get up there and lie through your teeth. Right? See, the truth is everything. not one side of the story, or a version of the truth that makes me feel good. Truth is the truth. We need to have the love of God being perfected in us. Isn't that something? Is that not by the grace of God? Is that not by the Spirit of God? Yes, indeed. All right, let's look at a couple of others here. Let's come over to chapter 3. 1 John 3. So what we are covering here is that when we view and keep the commandments of God, through the grace of God, then we have greater understanding of the meaning of the Word of God and His grace, and everything else with it, you see? Faith is a living, growing thing, because our relationship with God the Father is, and Jesus Christ, is a living, growing thing. We're to grow in grace, we're to grow in knowledge. Here, come back to chapter 1 before we go back to chapter 3, rather. All right? Verse 3. This is the heart and key to everything, and you'll even hear this mimic on the carnal Christianity of the world. They say, we need a relationship with God. That is true. But what does that mean? See? Now notice verse 3. That which we have seen and have heard, are reporting to you in order that you also may have fellowship with us. For the fellowship, that's what it is in the Greek, the fellowship. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His own Son, Jesus Christ. Because God the Father has called us, and that's where we started out, right? God the Father has led us. He has taught us, you see. We have through prayer, through study, through living, through thinking, through our daily lives, we have an ongoing, constant relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that is by grace. God gives us His Spirit to dwell in us. Jesus said the Father, and He would make their abode in us. That's something. I mean, don't ever think that, you know, God doesn't want you. God doesn't love you. No, He wants you and loves you. He needs you. He's called you because you look at everything that's going wrong in the world, and He's calling you now to be educated so you can learn His way and learn His love, so you and I and all of the true converted Christians are going to help correct every problem in this world when Christ returns. Remember that. The next time you see the arrogancy of our president spouting off lofty, sinful words, he may get away with what he's getting away with, but his day is coming. And God is going to deal with him. We don't have to deal with him, but here's the main thing we need to do. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His own Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the key as to how we keep the commandments of God. And that is through the grace of God. Now let's notice how it operates back here in 1 John 3. All right. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 10. By this standard are manifest the children of God and the children of the devil. He has His children. His children practice sin. The children of God practice righteousness. If we sin, we repent. Okay? Everyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. Neither is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. As a matter of fact, when you go through the Passover ceremony, you find that Jesus said four times, love one another as I have loved you. Live in my love. He also said five times that he would hear and answer our prayers right there in the Passover ceremony, see? So what God has given us is something that is spiritual, something that is vital, something that is living, okay, that we use every day. All right, let's go on. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his own brother. For what was the reason he murdered him? Because his own works were wicked, but his brother's works were righteous. That reminds me of an email that I got. I may have mentioned it a time or two, but I just remembered it now. I got an email from a nun in a nunnery who saw one of the programs, or she saw the ad concerning the Bible, and she wrote me the nastiest thing, and she said, you know, blinkety blank, and may your soul rot in hell forever. Oh, I know what it was, because I said Catholics are not Christian. So I emailed her back. And I said, my, what a very Christian attitude this is. I said, you just proved my point. Because Jesus said we are to pray for our enemies and those who despitefully use us. Why would you condemn me when you don't even know me? And you claim to be a Catholic? Well, maybe you're not Christian. You think I should just take it? No, I'll answer her back. Not in kind, but with the truth of God. See? All right. Verse 3, my brethren, do not be amazed if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. The one who does not love his brother is dwelling in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. See, because now it's spiritually binding, isn't it? Hatred becomes murder because hatred is the first thought which leads to murder. And you know that no murderer has eternal life dwelling within him. Now, compare that with what Christ has done. In tuto. By this very act, because that's what he's talking about here. We have known the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Think about what Jesus did. Remember, he was creator of everything, creator of all mankind. And only his life could pay for the sins of all humanity, past, present, and future, because he's creator of them. And he willingly laid down his life. No one took it from him. He laid it down. And he had commandment from the Father to receive it back. Now, so when you think you've stretched yourself out as far as you can go, think about what Christ has done. See, not only during the days of unleavened bread are we to get sin out, we are to put righteousness in. Okay? Think what Jesus did. Okay? Verse 17. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his feelings of compassion from him, how can the love of God be dwelling in him? My little children, we should not love in word, nor with our tongue, Rather, we should love in deed and in truth. Now, very interesting there. The word deed comes from the Greek ergon, a work of love. And in this way, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. That's what we want, brethren. Repentance leads to assurance of heart. You don't have to go around with condemnation. You don't have to go around with a guilty conscience or feeling. If you do, repent of it. Ask God to take it from you, see? Here's why. Verse 20. That if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. And isn't it true? When you sin and haven't repented and come to God, how can I explain it? You just don't feel the confidence that you do once you've had the slate cleaned and everything wiped away, right? See? Let's put it this way. If you got a ticket for speeding and you didn't pay it and you got notice after notice after notice, and they finally said, well, we're going to suspend your license. So you finally paid with all the fines and everything, and it's relieved. You feel better. But you see, if you would have taken care of it the first time, then you wouldn't have that hanging over you. So likewise, if you have a guilty feeling, don't carry it. If you have self-condemnation or self-fear, don't carry it. Repent of it. Go to God. That way your heart will not condemn you. Then your prayers will become much more effectual because you will have confidence toward God. That's what he's telling us here, see. If our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God, and whatever we may ask, we receive because we keep his commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in his sight. And that has to be by the grace of God. So isn't it amazing? All these years, we've been fighting the battle of grace or commandment keeping, and the answer is that to keep the commandments of God in the Spirit is through the grace of God. All right? Can you please God? It's another thing. You'll go around with a guilty feeling, I'll never please God. Yes, you will if you repent. Yes, you can if you do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Is God happy when pleased when you keep the Sabbath? Yes. When you repent of your sins? Yes. When you pray for someone else? Yes. When you love the brethren? Yes. That's pleasing in his sight. When you forgive? Yes. God is pleased. Stop and think how many people in the world are doing any of that. Couldn't tell you. We don't know. Only God knows the hearts and minds of people and where they are. And we can be rest assured, you know, God is working with many more people than we know of. God is greater than our little sphere of things. That's why it's such a terrible thing for any corporate church to stand up and say, this is the only church of God. See, you've forgotten what God told Elijah. I have 7,000 didn't bow the knee to Baal. He never knew about it, see. All right. Practice those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another exactly as he gave commandment to us. Now, notice, this tells us that commandment keeping in the New Testament is by the Spirit and grace of God. Right here, verse 24. And the one who is keeps his commandments is dwelling in him, and he in him. That's conversion, right? Yes. And by this we know that he is dwelling in us by his Spirit which he has given to us. There it is, right there. And it's been there all this time. And I preached how many sermons about keeping the commandments of God. And lo and behold, there it is. See? By faith, we establish law. Through faith, repentance, baptism, receiving of the Holy Spirit, we have the commandments of God written in our heart and in our mind, and in keeping those, we keep them through the grace of God. So, that's another meaning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, putting in that kind of righteousness, and let that be the way that we think and live and behave. Well, I'm glad all of you were able to come. I know it's been a long day, and I hope we've exercised our spirit and our minds and yielded to God. So, we'll just go ahead and end it here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.